You're listening to the Financial Framework Show with the man who can show you how to be debt-free. Now, here's Steve Barfield on WGAA, 1340 AM, the Big Double A.
Hello, my friends. I hope you're all having a good afternoon. And as always, if you're out there driving, make sure you keep your focus on the road. If you miss anything on the show today, you can go to the Financial Framework Show website and listen to the recorded broadcast. Your safety is the most important thing. On January the 6th at 3:05 p.m., right after the news and weather, the Financial Framework Show will be expanded to an hour format, and in addition to email questions, we will begin taking live call-in questions on how to get out of debt and how to retire and enjoy life. The call-in number is 800-732-6458. Again, the number is 800-732-6458, or you can call the local WGAA radio number, which is 770-748-1340, 770-748-1340. And the email address is steve@financialframeworkshow.com. That's Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at financialframeworkshow.com. Remember, there is no such thing as a dumb question. In fact, the only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. Now, this is the last Financial Framework Show of 2009, and I want to use this time to set the stage and put your thought process for 2010 in the right direction. I want you to listen and think about the different points that I will make, and I want you to decide that this is it. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to be all that God put me on this earth to be. I'm going to win in 2010. Many of you listening today will make one or more New Year's resolutions. The top three are lose weight, stop smoking, and get out of debt. Now let's begin with lose weight. I do hope that you make up your mind you need to be physically fit. If you're able to walk several days a week, this will prove to be a good exercise. And speaking of exercise, physical activity stimulates various brain chemicals that may leave you feeling happier and more relaxed than you were before you worked out. You will also look and feel better when you exercise regularly, which can boost your confidence and improve your self-esteem. You see, regular physical activity can even help prevent depression, which is often caused by debt and no hope of retirement. So, if you have time to exercise and listen to the Financial Framework radio show, you should be in the right frame of mind to get out of debt. The second resolution is to stop smoking. Well, I realize that you listen to the Financial Framework show to learn about money, and you don't listen so that I can preach to you about your habits, either good or bad. But I do hope that you make up your mind to at least slow down on how many you smoke per day. And then the most popular of all three resolutions is to get out of debt. Well, this one I can definitely help you with. And I hope that you're looking forward to 2010, and I pray that you have your mind made up to do whatever it takes to release the shackles of debt and begin working on making your dreams come true. The Financial Framework Show's primary focus is to help all who will listen and pay attention to take back their lives. You know, we're only on this earth for a flicker. Life is too short to waste. And once again, we need to be all that God put us on this earth to be. And we cannot do this in debt. And talking about life, I had always heard that life is tough and then you die, or that you could count your true friends on one hand. Well, it took me a long time to realize how true these statements would become. And I was told once by an old man a long time ago that by the time I became wise, that I would be too old to do anything with it. And for some reason, that statement has always stuck in my mind, and I've tried to seek wisdom from people who have gone before me, but I have still made my mistakes that if I had used my head, I would have never made. And then again, some of those mistakes have made me who I am today. I've also heard that tough times builds character, and I've often said, Lord, I believe that I have all the character that I need. Life is tough, but isn't it wonderful? And you know, the older I get, the more I appreciate the little things in life, and especially the big things, such as children and grandchildren. Speaking of children, isn't it amazing how we dream when we're young about being someone famous, maybe a professional football or baseball player or a famous singer or movie actress? Our parents tell us that we can be anything that we want if we just apply ourselves. Then we wake up years later and wonder, what happened? Wondering what went wrong and where we went off course. Did we completely ignore the wisdom that has been passed down from past generations? Who knows, but most of us know we are not where we should be in life. Have you ever wished that you could go back and do it all over again and know what you know today? I know that I have, and when I think back, I do miss the good old days. A time when life moved at a slower pace, when a handshake was as good as a contract, when gasoline could be bought for 35 cents a gallon and Cokes were only a dime. If you are one of the 46 million people known as a baby boomer, you probably reminisce about the good old days of the 50s and 60s. You can think back on times growing up and the expectations that you had of the future. Your role models were many to be had and their purpose and direction in life was easy to follow. Your parents and their parents had come before you with their lives neatly laid out and completely organized. They owned their own homes and owed no money to anyone. Our parents paid cash for everything that they bought, and if they didn't have the money, they didn't buy it. They had total control of their future and they knew it. If you're not one of the boomers, maybe you've heard your parents graciously loan for the good old days, or maybe you've channel surfed and run across old reruns like the Andy Griffith Show or Father Knows Best, and maybe you've wondered why today is so very different from the good old days of the past. I know that I have, but times have changed. Life today bears very little resemblance to the golden past. Our lives are fast-paced and seldom on track for advancement. The American dream is rapidly becoming a distant memory, and most families today require two incomes, and in many cases, a third income just to get by. We live in a see-it, want-it, and get-it society. We thrive on instant gratification, and with the use of a business card-sized piece of plastic, we think we can have it. We live life today as if there'll be no tomorrow, and it seems, with as many reality shows as there are on TV, that we could put a little reality in our own lives. Such as, what happens if we don't prepare for retirement? Will we ever get out of debt? What happens if we drag our debt load into retirement with us? Or is Social Security going to be there for us? To finish making the point, take a look at some of the consumer debt facts facing the American people. Let me first put things into perspective, especially since we started the show today talking about the good old days of the past. You see, in 1954, the entire amount of money that was owed in our country, government debt, state and local debt, consumer debt, everything totaled together was $585 billion. Now, I realize this is an enormous amount of money, but the banks have just taken $700 billion from our government over the past 12 months to supposedly bail themselves out of trouble. Now, this is more than $115 billion than we owed in our entire country's existence in 1954. Now, I could say a lot more here about banks and what they're doing to the American people, but due to time and my blood pressure, I'm going to get back to the point. When did we start creating consumer debt? I'm sure the answer is 1776, but let's assume that it started in 1950. This will make the point that I'm trying to make even bolder. In October of 1995, we hit our first $1 trillion of installment-type debt. Now, this includes auto loans, credit cards, but does not include mortgages. Now, do you realize how much $1 trillion really is? For us to pay back this amount of money, it would take us paying $1 million a day for 365 days a year for 2,741 years to pay it back. 741 years before the birth of Jesus. A trillion is more than most of us can even fathom. Let me give you one more analogy explaining what a trillion is. Using time, 1 million seconds is 12 days, 1 billion seconds is 31 years, and 1 trillion seconds is 31,688 years. Just an enormous number. So, from 1950 to 1995, using this assumption, it took us 45 years to create the first $1 trillion of installment-type debt. Now, as of October 2009, just 14 years later, our installment-type debt is now $2.4 trillion, with an estimated interest of $3.71 trillion for a total of $6.19 trillion. And remember, this doesn't include mortgages. Let's recap this. Using the assumption that we started accumulating and counting debt in 1950, it took us 45 years to hit the first $1 trillion of installment-type debt. But then it only took 14 years to hit $2.4 trillion. Based on this growth, if we were to continue at this pace, we would be in a neighborhood of $38 trillion of personal installment type of debt by the year 2020. There is absolutely no way this could be dealt with, and most definitely would bankrupt our country. To pay this back, it would take $1 million a day for more than 104,000 years, and this doesn't include the out-of-sight interest that our banking friends are hitting us with. We need to stop spending money, we need to save and pay cash for what we want to purchase, and we need to get out of debt. Now back to our stats. By the mid-1990s, credit card debt held by Americans living below the poverty level more than doubled. Our senior citizens, who were once noted as being a frugal generation, are sinking deeper into debt. Between the years 1994 and 2004, credit card debt accumulated by Americans aged 65 to 69 grew an amazing 217%. And based on 2008 numbers, the average college student owes $3,173 on plastic, and that doesn't even include their student loans. And in 2009, after seeing all of this, our wonderful banks that love us so much, that advertises that we can have what we want if we use their cards, that they will help us run our small businesses and make our dreams come true, the ones that use Priceless in their advertising, will make more than 38.5 billion, I didn't say million, I said billion, in overdraft penalties this year. With friends like this, we sure don't need any enemies. And you know, consumer debt and then dishonest banks, they are destroying our country. Like you've heard me say, debt is the devil's number one tool. And when we're in debt, we are in bondage to the creditors, and debt controls our thoughts and how we're able to live our lives. Debt controls where we live, where our children go to school. And debt not only destroys families, but the pressure of debt on the human body also takes its toll. Financial pressure causes major health problems, and it takes over our attitudes and even our personalities. You become irritable, and everyone around you pays deeply. And not only does your family suffer, so does your work ethics and your productivity. You start to think that there's no hope, and this becomes an almost unbearable feeling. And once you get behind on your debts, it is so hard to catch up, and most people don't even know how to begin. They cannot see the forest for the trees. They are so focused on the temporary problems that are facing them that they lose their sense of reasoning, when all they need to do is stand back and analyze exactly where they are and how much it would take to make things right. Did you know that an extra $500 a month would prevent about 75% of bankruptcies that are destroying families by the millions? A measly $500 a month would stop all of this devastation. But like I just said, when we are behind, we are consumed with worry and fear. Now, I realize that we're seduced by slick marketing to buy things that we don't need with money that we don't have, but it is our responsibility to know right from wrong and to have the discipline to let them not play their marketing games on us. But if we have made some financial mistakes or errors, then we must be big enough to accept our responsibility for what we have done and not blame everyone else. Taking responsibility is the first and most important step. Next, we need to map out a plan to get busy. Now, if you are of the lazy nature, you will probably not be able to dig your way out of the mess you've gotten yourself into. But if you're not the type that avoids work, then find a part-time job or two and get busy. Remember when Teresa and I were first married, and for many years after that, I had anywhere from 3 to 5 jobs at all times. I was determined to work hard and make enough money to keep the wolves away from our door. This needs to be your attitude, and you must refuse not to let this get the best of you. But many people have come to the conclusion that financial security and retirement is not in their future and have all but given up hope. They've decided that a quality way of life is only for the wealthy few. Retirement is a word that means different things to many people. Retirement could mean being in control of one's lives and no place to be at any certain time. It could mean spending time with the family and going to beautiful places that you've always wanted to go. It could mean working on the hobbies that you never had time to work on when you had to work every day. The word retirement and what it means has too many definitions to discuss on the show today, but what will it mean to you? What will retirement mean to you? This brings us to the thought of, once again, retiring debt-free. What a novel idea. And for most hardworking people, they will go through life paying their bills and working to stay on top of their financial game. But once again, I hate to keep harping on this, but due to the lack of financial knowledge and discipline, we rarely find our way out of the financial quagmire that is consuming most of our waking hours. We seem to always have debt, and we never seem to be putting enough away for later years, retirement. I know all too well what it's like to work 70 and 80 hours a week, to work sick and hungry, to work in bad weather with holes in my shoes, and then I sit down and try to pay the bills and not have enough to survive on until the next check. Then a tire blows out or the hot water heater stops working. Then you have to scramble around to find the money to handle these financial emergencies, which in many cases puts you further behind than you already were. The cycle continues to repeat itself, week after week, month after month, year after year, never letting up, never being able to see the light of day, losing hope of a better life with every second that passes by. And you begin to feel like you're the only one in the world who is in this shape. But the problem is, the far majority of Americans are in the same boat. We've always heard that misery loves company. Now, if this is left unchecked, the consumer debt problems in our nation will eventually wreak havoc on our entire way of life. In fact, the number one reason for divorce and abuses are traced back to money problems. Most people figure out how to make a living, but they never seem to find a way to save and prepare for retirement. Then all of a sudden they wake up and find themselves in their senior years without nearly enough saved. And the far majority of them are going to have to drag their monthly debt load in behind them. which means as a problem worsens, there will be more and more people who will never be able to retire, and they will have to work until they die and never be in a position to live their retirement dreams. This is the reason I got into the financial services business 25 years ago and started educating, getting people out of debt 15 years ago. And this is also the reason that I started the Financial Framework Seminar Series and this radio show. I honestly believe that almost anyone can become financially secure. It doesn't matter if you're in your 20s just starting out, a middle-aged baby boomer, or a senior trying to figure out how to make it happen. It doesn't matter if you consider yourself middle class, above or below. All it takes is a desire to make it happen and the proper tools and knowledge to accomplish it. You must provide a desire, and we will help you with the rest. Let's talk about it for a minute. Most of us will be much better off today if we knew more about how money works and how to handle it. And you've heard me say this before, but one of the major failings of our educational system is the lack of training on how a person is to exist in the real world financially. Things such as how to balance a checkbook, how to set up a family budget, how to buy insurance and savings vehicles, all of the necessary knowledge that it takes to survive is not taught to us. It doesn't matter if you have a high school diploma, college degree, or you might even be a PhD, you're not taught the basic principles of how money works. The principles can mean the difference in your present comfort and your long-term financial security. And as a result of this lack of financial knowledge, people develop bad money habits, and those habits follow them throughout their entire lives and is passed on to future generations. I have found that people who came from families who saved money and ran on a budget will most likely do the same. While on the other hand, I found that people who came from families who ran their budgets by the seat of their pants, they tend to run their financial lives the same way. And the sad thing is, there's more of us running by the seat of our pants than who are doing things the right way. This has to change if we're ever going to take control of our lives. You have heard me say over and over again that we're not taught what we need to know about money and how to handle our finances. This was so evident during the first 10 years of me being in the financial services business. It seemed that every family that I met with was living paycheck to paycheck. Most were underinsured, and almost no one had any form of emergency fund or saving enough for retirement. All of this has to do with their debt loads, which, if you remember, Teresa and I wrote the book on debt. Getting married young and having three children and a mortgage by the time we were 19 years old, we were almost smothered with debt. And then fast forward to 1994, and I had been invited to a meeting about debt. I reluctantly went, and as I figured, I was disappointed. It was a guy talking about nonprofits. These are companies that are bombarding the airwaves today, saying things like, if you're $10,000 in credit card debt, call us. We can save you money, and so on. If you deal with one of the nonprofits, whether or not they can help you is up in the air, but they will definitely hit your credit report negatively. It has just about the same effect on your credit report as a bankruptcy. I covered how nonprofits work in detail back on either December the 2nd or the 9th. You can go to the archives and listen if you want to know more. Well, as I sit through the meeting, my mind started to think about all of the people I had just made mention of a couple minutes ago. Good, hard-working people who never seemed to be able to have any breathing room, where many of them were on the verge or had already given up hope of ever being able to quit work and retire. Then all of a sudden, it had to be from God. I started getting all of these ideas, one after the other. I couldn't seem to write them down quick enough before another idea hit my head. They just kept coming, and I'm sure that if anyone was watching me, they would have thought I had gone crazy. And anyone who knows me from school or the past also knows that these ideas are definitely from God. Anyway, I came up with a system, and we later named it the Equity Creator System. Now, this is the financial plan that is included in the Financial Framework Seminar Series. Now, first of all, the Equity Creator System is not the typical debt diet that is covering up the financial marketplace. Everyone from TV personalities to radio talk show hosts, they are all talking about their theories to help you get out of debt. They put them on the shelves and we buy them just as fast as we can. They sell books and tapes and seminars that are supposed to give you the answers to your debt issues. The American population is coming to the senses and realizing that debt is a bad thing, and eventually it destroys our long-term hopes and dreams. The debt diet marketers, they will tout their ability to do all of these wonderful things if, and this is a big if, you will buy their books or tapes, if you'll read and study them, if you will then work on applying your personal numbers each month to their theory, and if you can stay disciplined long enough to finish the job. It reminds me of the exercise equipment marketplace. How many rowing machines, stationary bicycles, or treadmills are bought each year only to collect dust in the corner of our bedrooms? How many weight sets wind up rusting on the back porch or in the basement and later sold at a yard sale? Remember, of all the threats to your financial security, none is more dangerous than debt. This is why it is of the utmost importance not to trust this most important part of your financial lives to a do-it-yourself theory to eliminate debt. When you read one of the books or listen to one of the tapes, they have good information about budgeting and the philosophy of being debt-free, but they have absolutely no follow-up or discipline to make it happen. It is entirely up to you to figure out what to do in the beginning and each and every month until you either give up or possibly make it. Well, that wasn't good enough for me. If you're going to attend a financial framework seminar at a church or use the Equity Creator system outside of a church, either way, I could not, in my right conscience, sell you books or tapes and leave it up to you to either make it or not, with the entire responsibility falling on your shoulders. The Equity Creator system includes the blueprint that gives you all of the information in detail that you need to know about getting out of debt, your emergency fund, how much insurance you need to protect breadwinners, and how much you will need for retirement. And then, the best part of it all, the blueprint shows you how to accomplish all this, in most cases, spending your same current monthly payments. This also gives you the exact month and year that you can be debt-free. We call this your financial freedom date. You don't have to sell everything you own, including your home, to become debt-free. You are already spending enough each month to make some wonderful things happen in your lives. The system then offers additional tools that will all but ensure you to get out of debt and retire. One is the ultimate do-it-yourself system. It's unmatched in the world. And the other system goes all the way to actually sending your creditors their money each month. And when one debt pays off, without any discipline on your part, the system automatically adds the paid-off amount to the next worst debt in line. One by one, this happens, and you become debt-free on your financial freedom date. Let's talk briefly about the new year coming up. I realize that when a new year comes in, it is really just another day for most of us. But I have always used it as a start over, and I try to fix what I wasn't able to fix the previous year. It is kind of like a football game. You can lose this week, but next week you have the potential to play better and smarter and claim victory. In my mind, the new year represents a new game, a fresh start, a time for me to forget about my mistakes from last year and do my best not to make them again. I honestly hope that you will adopt this way of thinking and decide right here and now that 2010 is going to be your best year yet. And I pray that you will make up your mind to really make some great things happen. And before I get into the show's disclaimers and reminders for today, I want to end with one of my favorite quotes from one of the greatest football coaches that ever lived, Vince Lombardi. He wrote a speech called The Number One Speech. And Coach Lombardi said so powerfully, "Winning is not a sometime thing, it's an all-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. There is no room for second place. There's only one place in my game, and that is first place. I have finished second twice in my time at Green Bay, and I don't ever want to finish second again. There's a second place bowl game, but it is a game for losers played by losers. It is, and it always has been, an American zeal to be first at anything we do, and to win, and to win, and to win. Every time a football player goes to ply his trade, he has got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. Some guys play with their heads. That's okay. You've got to be smart to be number one in any business. But more importantly, you've got to play with your heart, with every fiber of your body. If you're lucky enough to find a guy with a lot of head and a lot of heart, he's never going to come off the field second. Running a football team is no different than running any other kind of organization, an army, a political party, or a business. The principles are the same. The object is to win, to beat the other guy. Maybe that sounds hard or cruel. I don't think it is. It is a reality of life that men are competitive, and the most competitive games draw the most competitive men. That's why they are there, to compete. To know the rules and objectives when they get in a game. The object is to win fairly, squarely, by the rules, but to win. And in truth, I have never known a man worth his salt who, in the long run, deep down in his heart, didn't appreciate the grind, the discipline. There is something in good men that really yearns for discipline and the harsh reality of head-to-head combat. I don't say these things because I believe in the brute nature of man or that men must be brutalized to be combative. I believe in God. And I believe in human decency, but I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, his greatest fulfillment to all he holds dear, is that moment when he has to work his heart out in a good cause and he's exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. I hope that you enjoyed listening to that as much as I enjoyed saying it. I want us to win, and I want us to win big, so let's win in 2010. Every week in 2010, I will give you important information that will have a definite impact on your lives and will put you in a position to win in life. It has been my mission for a long time to educate and save our people from the bondage of debt. I hope that you will decide to be a part of this battle with me. Try to locate a church that is holding the Financial Framework Seminar in your area. If you cannot locate one, you can go to the Financial Framework Seminar website and learn more about it. The web address is www.financialframeworkseminar.com. That is financialframeworkseminar.com. And if you can't find a church in your area, maybe you can get us in touch with someone at your church. We can contact them and see if they would consider putting on the Financial Framework Seminar, which to a point is similar to the other financial seminars that are taught in churches, but the Financial Framework Seminar comes with a personalized plan and even offers prepackaged discipline if you have trouble with your quest to become debt-free. No one is more serious than we are about saving the country from the ravages of debt, and I think you will see this once you have attended the seminar. If you missed any of the show today, you can go to the website at www.financialframeworkshow.com. That's financialframeworkshow.com. Look in the top right-hand corner for the login button, and in there you will see the WGAA radio section. Each week's broadcast is archived there for you to go back and listen whenever you have time. Don't forget, next week you can catch the Financial Framework Show on Wednesday at 3:05 p.m. right after the news and weather. It will be the first show of the new year, and it begins the one-hour format with live call-in questions. The call-in number is 800-732-6458. Again, the number is 800-732-6458. Or you can call a local WGAA radio number, which is 770-748-1340. Give us a call with questions about debt, retirement. Let us know where you are and what you want to accomplish. This will be a good show, and I'm looking forward to talking to you. And don't forget to pray for our brave soldiers around the world that are sacrificing for our freedom and our way of life. And don't forget about their families, who are also giving us a piece of their lives each day to make us safe and secure. Our soldiers are modern-day heroes and should be treated that way. Until next Wednesday, be safe in your travels, and may God bless.
You've been listening to the Financial Framework Show with the man who can show you how to be debt-free. Join Steve Barfield again here soon on WGAA 1340 AM, The Big AA.